Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Mr. Huxley wrote Brave New World, a novel that predicted that someday the entire world would live under a frightful dictatorship. Today, Mr. Huxley says that his fictional world of horror is probably just around the corner for all of us.
How normal and how important is it to be, you know, multilingual in South Africa? I mean, if you were monolingual, could you get by?
I think you'd have a very difficult time getting by in South Africa on just one language. If we look at the national anthem, for example, it's got 5 of the 11 official languages.
I just thought it was going to be up to, like, audience imagination, but then it was like, here under the cover is an actual beast. Damn.
There's a moment where there's just one light right next to the bear, and the light hit it just right, and I thought I saw it move.
Coming up today, samples from Blank on Blank, Parrotland, and The Artfuls. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight 3 podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe even help you find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here email blast at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us at Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. Now, with special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Wiser Advisors, Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and writing, research, and curation support from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. If George Washington Carver were around today, what advice would he offer you? What does Stevie Wonder think are the keys to life? You don't have to wonder. Our first podcast this week, Blank on Blank, will do all the work for you. With incredible, never-before-released interviews with some of history's most significant figures, both living and dead, Blank on Blank provides you with access to little-known wisdoms of the world's great pioneers. Each episode is centered around a particular theme like ego, childhood, moonlight, freak shows, and more. And the interviews are short, but chock full of sage advice and wisdom. Hear what Alfred Hitchcock thinks about dead bodies, or Sally Ride's opinion on stupid questions, as you discover remarkable conversations with famous names and everyday Americans. Blank on Blank's website also features animations that accompany each interview and bring the speaker to life, so check those out. In the meantime, take a listen, a sample listen to this episode of Blank on Blank, featuring esteemed author Aldous Huxley. The episode is called Aldous Huxley on Techno-Dictators, and it features an interview with Huxley where he discusses the real social tensions behind his most famous work, Brave New World.
I think it's terribly important to insist on individual values, that every human being is unique. And it is, of course, on this genetical basis that the whole idea of the value of freedom is based.
This is Aldous Huxley, a man haunted by a vision of hell on earth. Mr. Huxley wrote Brave New World, a novel that predicted that someday the entire world would live under a frightful dictatorship. Today, Mr. Huxley says that his fictional world of horror is probably just around the corner for all of us.
There are a number of impersonal forces which are pushing in the direction of less and less freedom. The first of them can be called overpopulation. The whole essence of biological life on Earth is a question of balance, and what we have done is to practice death control in a most intensive manner without balancing this with birth control at the other end. In the underdeveloped countries, people have less to eat and less goods, and the central government has to take over more and more responsibility for keeping the ship of state on an even keel. And then, of course, you're likely to get social unrest under such conditions, with again an intervention of the central government. One sees here a pattern which seems to be pushing very strongly towards a totalitarian regime.
Are there specific devices or methods of communication which diminish our freedoms?
Well, there are certainly devices which can be used in this way. Hitler used terror on the one kind, brute force on the one hand, but he also used a very efficient form of propaganda. He had the radio, which he used to the fullest extent, and was able to impose his will on an immense mass of people. I mean, the Germans were a highly educated people. we mustn't be caught by surprise by our own advancing technology. This has happened again and again in history. And suddenly people have found themselves in a situation which they didn't foresee and doing all sorts of things they didn't really want to do. At present, the television, I think, is being used quite harmlessly. But I mean, imagine, which must be the situation in all communist countries, where the television, where it exists, is always saying the same thing the whole time, is always driving along. It's drumming in of a single idea all the time. It's obviously an immensely powerful instrument. All technology is in itself morally neutral. These are just powers which can either be used well or ill. It's the same thing with atomic energy. We can either use it to blow ourselves up, or we can use it as a substitute for the coal and the oil which are running out. In this book of mine, Brave New World, I postulated a substance called Soma, which was a very versatile drug. It would make people feel happy in small doses, make them see visions in medium doses, and it would send them to sleep in large doses. I think it's quite on the cards that we may have drugs which will profoundly change our mental states without doing us any harm. Well, what is going to happen in the future is the dictators will find, as the old saying goes, that you can do everything with bayonets except sit on them. That if you want to preserve your power indefinitely, you have to get the consent of the ruled. And this they will do partly by drugs, partly by these new techniques of propaganda. They will do it by bypassing the sort of rational side of man and appealing to his subconscious and his deeper emotions, making him actually love his slavery. I mean, I think this is the danger, that actually people may be in some ways happy under the new regime, but they will be happy in a situation where they oughtn't to be happy.
That was Blank on Blank from PRX. Hear the advice of cultural and political leaders firsthand with Blank on Blank, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Rocket scientists, brain surgeons, stuntmen, these are tough jobs, right? But none of them compare to the job of parenting. Thankfully, there are lots of resources out there to help parents raise their kids right, like, for example, our new edition feature this week, Parentland. It's the podcast version of the popular BBC parenting blog of the same name, and it's here to help you navigate all the bumps in the road of having a family. Listeners submit their parenting questions, and Parentland consults the experts for the latest answers and advice. From getting your child to listen to boosting their brain power, Parentland is a regular supermarket of parenting do's and don'ts. Let's sample a clip from a recent episode of Parentland titled Speaking in Many Tongues. This episode explores the science behind a growing movement to raise children multilingual and the facts and fiction surrounding its benefits. How many languages can kids learn at a time? Can it help them get ahead? Check out this sample.
But one place where the multilingualism dream is really being put into practice is South Africa, where there are 11 official languages.
11? I think that is, my mind is blown. So we've got someone on the line. Do you want to tell us who you are?
Hi, everyone. So my name is Pumza, and the surname is Fihlani.
Fihlani.
So it's a Xhosa surname, one of the languages that have clicks.
Okay.
I am a reporter that is based in the Johannesburg Bureau. I cover most of Southern Africa and various parts of the continent.
Okay, so how does it work? Does everyone speak 11 languages?
It would be rare to find somebody who speaks all 11 languages. The average would probably, if I would hazard an educated guess, would be around 6, 7. But generally, people speak easily more than 5 languages.
How many do you speak, Pumza?
I speak fluently 6 languages, and that is including English.
Wow.
So I speak isiXhosa. IsiXhosa is my first language.
Okay.
I then speak isiZulu fluently, and I picked up Sesotho when I moved to Johannesburg about 10 years ago. And I also speak Setswana, which is a language that's also local to the region where Gauteng, the province, is. And I speak Afrikaans, which I learned in school and kept over the years. And of course, English.
How normal and how important is it to be, you know, multilingual in South Africa? I mean, if you were monolingual, could you get by?
You'd have a very difficult time getting by in South Africa on just one language. Like, if we just look at South Africa itself, it was built on the idea of being a country of multiple cultures or multiple languages. If we look at the national anthem, for example, it's got 5 of the 11 official languages there. And if you think of the national anthem and sort of how it goes from Xhosa in one sentence, into isiZulu in the next stanza, into isiSuthu, into Afrikaans, that is not very far from how people speak, how they're able to interchange between languages as the conversation flows.
So how do people learn all these languages?
So I'll tell you how it works usually in a place like Johannesburg. So Johannesburg, which is the main city of South Africa, is considered the melting pot of cultures and languages. And this happens usually because people will move from rural areas, from various other provinces, to try and find job opportunities in Johannesburg. And those various cultures then come and meet in Johannesburg. And that's where sort of the cross sharing of the languages begins to happen. If you only spoke one language, people would want to know, where have you grown up, where you have not come into contact with people of other languages?
So you have kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are you teaching your children your languages, the languages that you know?
So I have two daughters, one 11 and one going on 6. And we do basic things. Like when we get home, we converse, we speak in an African language, and we'll try out basic concepts, whether it's a greeting, whether it's explaining how her day was, or talking about what meal she had at school, but just trying to introduce those concepts of how you would communicate with somebody who does not, one, speak English, so you don't have that as a crutch, but also, two, how to relate to people from various backgrounds in their mother tongue as opposed to English.
What kind of tips would you give our parents listening on teaching their children different languages?
So when we spoke to the people in the streets of Johannesburg, one of the key things they mentioned was patience, that it's important for you to be patient with yourself as you're teaching this language, but also patient with your child as they're learning it. And just remember that it's meant to be a fun experience. Nobody's going to want to do it if there's no sense of fun in it. I think what South Africans have grasped is the minute somebody tries to learn their language, they're already trying to connect with you. And also just to allow yourself to make those mistakes and not take yourself too seriously. And also allow your children to make those mistakes. And remember, they're learning in the same way that they were learning the basics of the language they now speak fluently. It will also come with a bit of time and practice to learn an additional language or even a third or fourth language.
Thank you so much, Pamza. This has been amazing talking to you about this.
Absolutely, you're welcome.
A snippet from Parentland, new from the BBC World Service. Find out the answers to some of life's hardest questions with Parentland, newly available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Our local feature this week comes to you from The Artfuls, a Cincy-based group dedicated to informing young professionals about art events in the tri-state and greater Cincy area, connecting them to local arts organizations, and creating an active dialogue about art to engage younger audiences. The Artfuls podcast is designed to reach out to a newer audience that might not be aware of the performances and opportunities they have to attend, also artful events, but it also takes some time to discuss trends and insights from within the arts world. If you or someone you know is looking to get involved in the thriving Cincinnati arts scene, the Artfuls podcast is a perfect place to start. So I'll give you a sample here from the episode of the Artfuls that was recorded live at the No Theater in Cincinnati. In the episode, hosts Carlos Garcia Leon and Jackson Short discuss the Man Beast production put on right here by the talented folks at the No Theater. In this snippet, the guys and their guests dissect the show and reveal their favorite and least favorite parts.
Also, the way the script was able to like throw in the French words and some like old-timey language with contemporary language and make it flow so seamlessly, I was super impressed by. And then it was really scary as well. I was guessing right to the end. I'm a terrible guesser. I never know what's going to happen.
No, that plot twist, that like twist of the knife kind of ending was perfect.
I also thought, by the way, the Beast, whoever made that,
yes, okay.
I was so worried. I was like, don't take the sheet off, it's going to suck.
So
and then I was like,
the premise of the show is that like there is a beast out there and it hurts the man, Jim, and he like comes into Jan's house and basically like the beast of, I can't do the French, but the beast of the town and it's haunting and basically they're like, concoct this plan that they're going to kill it and give it to Louis as a present because gold.
But not kill it. It's another beast because they can't find the other one.
Yes.
And so they like dupe Louis into giving them the money for a reward for something they didn't actually catch, but they caught something just as impressive.
And then she kind of morphed it, like what she did, because that was kind of a recognizable animal could be. Yeah. But she, like, whatever she did to manipulate it, giving it a man's eyes, I thought that was a beautiful touch.
That was brilliant. And whoever did that taxidermy was just, I mean, I just thought it was going to be up to, like, audience imagination. But then it was like, here under the cover is an actual beast. Damn.
Yeah, and I told a couple people after I saw the show on Friday, there's a moment where there's just one light right next to the bear, and it's the other taxidermied animal in the show, and the light hit it just right, and I thought I saw it move.
Ooh.
And I, for the rest of the scene, I had like just tunnel vision on this bear, and I was just staring at it going, please do not move.
His fears were manifesting in his thoughts.
I thought I like cut off Carlos's circulation to his hand. Like I was literally going, this thing better not move. This thing better not move. Cause oh man, it was.
Have you seen the George Harrison music video of I've Got My Mind Set on You?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, when all the taxidermy stuff starts to. But that didn't happen at all. But that's just okay. What it made me think of.
Continue. What's our second question?
The second question. Now we're going to be constructive, not destructive.
Okay.
But what's something that you didn't enjoy or something you didn't like about this particular performance?
I'll tell you what I didn't like. I didn't like how timely it was, and listening to Jim's character tell Jen's character that she's a woman and no one will believe her.
Yeah.
Is very upsetting.
That was rough.
And I didn't realize. So it just, I didn't enjoy the uncomfortableness, but also I love that's what live theater does. And you could feel the audience reacting around and being like, why is this still so true today?
Yeah.
And that was very upsetting. That's honestly that's the thing.
Yeah. How great was it then when like she turned, this is a huge spoiler, but when she turned out to be the beast after seeing all of that happening, and yes girl, you get that man.
Oh, this is like, a premonition of the future. Just you fucking wait. Like we're coming.
Our Cincinnati podcast, The Artfuls. Don't miss another local art event with The Artfuls podcast on WVXU's Podcast Central. Each week, we wrap up with a look at the hottest podcasts in the country as featured on the Apple Podcast Charts and is compiled by iTunesCharts.net. This week, one podcast stands out. Topping the nation is the Bellas podcast. That's Nikki and Brie Bella, the WWE superstar twins. Their podcast is brand new, and it's kind of a variety show where the Bella twins go head-to-head in a weekly trivia battle, duke it out over juicy debate topics, kill some rumors, and answer questions tweeted in from the Bella Army. New episodes drop every Wednesday, and in just a couple of weeks, the twins are number one on the Apple Podcast charts. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at WVXU.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call us at 513-294-8030, and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.